Welcome to The Second Half, an oral history project sponsored by the Women's Studies Research Center and by the Journalism Program at Brandeis University. In these oral histories, Brandeis student journalists interview women over 50, from judges to sociologists and from doctors to artists. Though each woman's story is unique, they all show a wealth of wisdom, resilience, and joy in their second half of life. In this episode, Brenna Perlstein joins Rachel Winkeller for a conversation about balancing marriage and family with one's career and learning how to let things go.
Hi, my name is Brenna. I'm a junior at Brandeis University studying public health and journalism. As part of our continuation of Ellen Warner's project, The Second Half, I spoke with Rachel Winkeller. Rachel served as the Director of Transportation Policy and Planning at the U.S. Department of Transportation until 2018 and holds a doctoral degree in public policy from the Heller School at Brandeis. She and her husband of 62 years, whom she met at Brandeis, have two children, a daughter and a son, and six grandchildren. Rachel and I sat down during the opening reception for The Second Half. We discussed risk-taking and what has or hasn't driven her to do so in her life. We also talked about what it means for her to live a meaningful life while aging.
I grew up sort of at the cusp of things. So I should tell you my Brandeis story, which is very interesting. So my husband and I met, and we had a fight because we said, how could we get married because we can't both write our dissertations at the same time because we'll compete and we'll kill each other. And we finally realized that, well, there was another solution. We could get married but write our dissertations at different times. And he had a topic, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I took a year off and worked, and then this professor asked me to come back and work at a research program for him. So I went into the dean and I said, okay, I'm coming back. And in those days, there was a lot of money for tuition. And I said, you know, I want to talk about finances. And he said, well, we'll give you tuition. But I said, well, you know, I'm working as a research assistant on this project. I want a stipend. And he said, well, you know, we're not going to give you a stipend because your husband's working. And I said, excuse me. I said, but I know that this professor has asked other person to be on the project. And this guy and his wife is working. So what is the difference? And they said, no, we're not going to give you. I said, okay, so why don't you put in writing that you're not going to give me a stipend because my husband is working. And they were not that stupid. So they gave me a stipend.
And I'm sure it took a lot to stand up to the dean like that.
That's impressive. Like, are you kidding? Really? Right. You know? Again, I was going to sue him. I was like, come on.
Rachel was raised, as she said, on the cusp of things. Although she did not feel there was an immense amount of pressure as a woman to reach high goals in her career, she had an internal drive that pushed her to work hard.
I rose to senior management positions, and in a way, I didn't have those expectations and didn't expect. And it's different for my daughter. You know, she's very ambitious and wants to be a vice president and is striving for it. And, you know, it's a different generation. We're not the same sort of expectations.
As she has aged, Rachel has seen changes in our culture, observing significant differences between her generation and that of her daughter.
Was there someone growing up in your childhood, in your life, that, I guess, modeled what aging would look like for you?
No. In fact, the thing about aging is I'm not afraid of dying, but I'm more afraid of living too long. One of the hardest things about aging, I think, is watching. I had a very close friend who died last year. And an awful sickness, you know, and it's sort of random that it happened, you know, watching her lose her mind, her facilities, and that's really hard, and I don't want to be a burden, and I don't, you know, that's the thing about aging, I think, is hard. I saw my mother, you know, like, live too long. I mean, my father had a major stroke and died, like, immediately, and, I mean, he lived, like, another week, but my mother had small strokes, and after each stroke, she became diminished, both physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. And I think that was hard to watch. And so I think that's the hard part about aging.
As people age, watching their loved ones, friends, and family diminish and die can be a very painful part of life.
In many ways, I find it's the best time of life. It really does boil down to, I think, a lot of the quotes out there, you know, your essence of what you want to do. And you realize, you know, what's important to you? And when I retired, I realized it's very easy to use up a day, you know, to sit around and read or do any kinds of things. But I needed to feel like I was contributing in some way, shape, or form. And I needed to exercise my mind. You know, I'm doing this consulting work, strategic planning, because it uses my skills, but it also, you know, it contributes and it keeps me interested and alive.
After retiring from her position at the Department of Transportation, Rachel began consulting to both private and nonprofit organizations.
Was that always a value of yours, or more so when you
were older? You realize, well, it's, you realize what's important. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was interesting at work, I remember. I was doing a lot of individual work and working with these other people. And one of my bosses said to me, you know, it's important to think about what you leave behind when you leave work. And when I retired, I realized I did some projects that had an impact. But what had the most impact, I think, was the mentoring that I did, you know, and because I was a manager, a senior manager, and that people that I hired when I left had risen to management positions. And I also hired a lot of women, in fact. One of my staff people said I was discriminated against men because I hired too many women. Nice. I was not that. I took that as a compliment, you know, that I hired all these women, but he said I was discriminating against men.
If only we should get to that point.
Right. Through this professional organization, Women in Transportation, I mentored this young woman. She was working for an engineering firm, and she wanted to change, and I encouraged her to work where I went. I mean, they had an ongoing mentoring relationship for a couple of years. And in fact, that's what I miss the most about not working. It's that, you know, I work with other people who are retired, and I don't have that much connection with the younger generation, and I miss that. But that was, when I left, I felt that was my most lasting impact that I left behind of, you know, the next generation. That's also when I felt it was time to retire, too.
What, if anything, have you learned about love and relationships?
Well,
that's a big question.
It is. I mean, I think that my husband and I have the best relationship now. I mean, someone said there are three different stages of marriage, you know, when you first, before you have kids, and then you have kids, and, you know, afterwards. And I think, in a way, this is the best stage of our marriage, because I've learned to be more accepting of him. Like, he was much stricter with the kids and had a different style, and we used to get into arguments like that. And now I see him sometimes doing the same kinds of things with the grandkids, and I'm able to say, it's his relationship, however he wants, and he has his own way of relating, and that's him. That's who he is, and I have my own way. It's okay, you know? And it's just, my daughter asked us at her wedding to say, what makes a long marriage? Two things I said is, one is he makes me laugh, and it's a sense of humor, which is really key, that's really important. You have to have a sense of humor to get through life. And the other thing is we support each other, that he listens to me, like my father didn't listen to me, but he listens to me, you know? And he supports me, and we listen to each other, and we support each other. And I think that's... that's ultimately what's important.
And speaking of your grandkids, what is it like to watch your children raise other children?
You know, it is cool in many ways. It's hard in other ways. You know, you don't always agree, and you learn to keep your mouth shut. That is a very important thing to learn, is to keep your mouth shut. You know, you may not agree. My son in particular is very, very stubborn and doesn't listen to anything. But it's like, okay, he's a grown up now, and you need to learn to let go. And we went on vacation for a week with him and his family, and we were doing Wordle, and he had a different strategy, and I didn't agree with the strategy, but he got the word in the end, and he said, yeah. And so he said to me, this is a metaphor, he said, I don't listen to a thing that you and Dad say, but it turns out okay in the end. I said, okay. You know, what's really interesting is watching my daughter relate to me. I think of my relationship to my mother and kind of wishing in some ways that I had done something, you know, that I had talked to my mother in different ways. Ask your parents the questions now that you'll be sorry that you didn't ask them later.
Not surprisingly, Rachel's perspectives have changed as she has aged. She's more accepting of her husband. She has learned to keep her mouth shut, as she said, not interfering in her husband's relationships with their kids and grandkids, and also not telling her own children what to do, allowing all of them the space to figure things out themselves.
Thank you for listening. This project is affiliated with The Second Half, a book by photojournalist Ellen Warner and published by the Brandeis University Press in 2022. Our student journalist team includes Lauren Williams, Brenna Perlstein, and Jillian Brusovsky. Our show music is written and produced by Bethel Adakobi. Our project manager is myself, Claire Ogden, and our consulting producers are Neil Swidey and Iris Adler. We would like to include a special thank you to Stephanie Lawrence, Harleen Singh, and Kristen Mullen, the WSRC team. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.